Now, if you would, take your Bibles and be turning with me, please, to Genesis and chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39. Once you find your place there, if you could, if you'll stand with us, please, we'll read 6 verses of Scripture together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. In Genesis chapter number 39, let's all stand, if you would, please, as we read the Word of God together. Now, the Bible said, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that all that the Lord had that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over all of his house and over all that he had put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon them that was in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Then, beloved, look down in verse number 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Now, my friend, in the verses we've read this morning, I want you to notice something there that the Bible talks about. And the Bible mentions 4 times in these verses that the Lord was with Joseph. And so, beloved, that's the title of the message, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, how that just blessed our heart, stirred our souls, and made us think about the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you'd unctionize the message today. Lord, we recognize we are nothing more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Nothing will be accomplished without the moving of God. And so, Father, we pray for that this morning. I ask, God, that you'd touch every heart. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know thee, that you'd save them. And Lord, for that one today that's in a dark place, that one today that's lonely, that one today that's discouraged, may you encourage them today. And all that you do, we'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open to Genesis chapter number 39. Now, my friend, in Genesis here, you find that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout his life, you read about him, and you'll see that he was typified the Lord Jesus. You'll find that in reading the Bible that there is no recorded sin about Joseph. But now notice something here in the verses we've read, that Joseph, beloved, he was taken down and sold, and there the Bible said that he was in the house of the Egyptian. He was of the house of Potiphar. And the Bible said there in verse number 4 that Joseph found grace in his sight, and that everything that Joseph did, God blessed him. And not only did God bless him, but he blessed the household of Potiphar. Friend, I want to tell you something. I look and long for the blessings of God. And my friend, I want you to know something. It's that when you get around the right people and you get around somebody that loves God and's got the blessing of God on them, it'll rub off on you. Amen. That's why I like to be around God's people. I want a blessing from the Lord. And the Bible said that Joseph, everything that he did, that God blessed him. But now notice something in verse 2, verse 3, and verse number 21. The Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph. Friend, it ought to bring a comfort to our hearts to know that the Lord is with us. I'm glad that Jesus said, and lo, I'm with thee, even to the end of the world. Thank God for that comfort. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, God's presence is with you. That brings a comfort to my heart to know that he's with me even in the darkest hours. But also that brings a conviction to my heart. You realize today that everywhere you go, and everything you say, and everything you watch, that God is with you. And beloved, that ought to cause us to live our life pleasing unto the Lord. But now notice something as we get into the message this morning, and for the sake of time, let me just jump right into it. You'll find that Joseph here in the Word of God, you find him in three places. Number one, you find him in the pit. You'll know there that his brothers sold him and put him in a pit. And beloved, that is a type of death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Bible said that Jesus died for our sins. And friend, let me tell you something, is that you'll never be saved until you recognize that the Lord Jesus died in your place. He, my friend, paid your sin debt. But you find Joseph in the pit. But then you find Joseph in the palace. Oh, the Bible says there in the palace, it was a place of glamour. It was a place of praise. But there, beloved, it was a place that he was tested and tried. And friend, this Christian life is a life that you're going to be tested and tried. But third of all, you find Joseph down in prison. And you read that in the Bible. And he was in prison not because he'd done something wrong, but because, my friend, he did something right. And beloved, as we as live as God's people, it may come the time that we would have to go into jail or prison because of our beliefs. But thank God Joseph stood firm. He said, how can I do this sin in the front of my God? And he said, I'll not compromise my convictions. And they cast him into prison. But I want to show you something here this morning. There's five places that I find that the Lord was with Joseph. Get them down if you've got a pen and paper. Number one, he was with Joseph when he was a shepherd lad. The Lord was with Joseph. You know this because of three things. You find that Joseph had his devotion to God. As a young child, Joseph loved the spiritual things. And friend, let me tell you, as a child of God, we ought to love the spiritual things of the Lord. The Bible said, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come in to the house of the Lord. I just believe if you're saved by God's grace, you don't have to pump, prime, beg, or plead to get people to come to the house of God. It ought to be a delight. It ought to be a wonder. It ought to be a fascination to come to the house of God. Every time you come, you ought to walk away with the blessing of God. Amen. And friend, there's something to be said about being around God's people. And Joseph had his devotion to God. But second of all, you know that God was with him as a shepherd lad by his dress. The Bible says that Joseph's father made him a coat of many colors. I used to couldn't understand that. I used to didn't understand. Some people said it's like a patchwork quilt. But the further I studied and a little deeper I dug, I found something out. It's a Joseph coat of many colors. It was actually white linen garment. And at the bottom of it, there was a huge ribbon, a bright colored ribbon that went around the bottom of it. Now you say, preacher, why did he have such a coat like that? Well, friend, you can understand his brothers envied him. You see, the shepherds, they wore a rough garment. They wore a blue garment most of the time. And when they were out there in the field and they were working and
laboring. Here comes Joseph in his white garment with that fringe around the bottom of it. And they begin to murmur and they begin to complain. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, most of the time, if you work in a factory somewhere, you work in a plant, then all of a sudden, all the supervisors, most of them wear what? A white shirt, amen? And all the laborers wear what? A blue shirt. And you see, his brothers envied him because he'd walk out in the field, he was 17 years of age, and they'd say, listen, that kid don't know anything. He's way behind the ears. They didn't respect him. But his father had given him a coat of many colors. Why? Because he recognized his devotion to God. He recognized that he was a man after God's heart. He recognized that he his brothers envied him, and you find that his coat was unusual. It wasn't worn by just anybody. It wasn't worn by just the common man. It was worn by somebody as a supervisor. And friend, let me tell you something. As a child of God, as a born-again believer, the folk out here today ought to know us by the garments we wear. Amen. Oh, listen, they ought to see us and know that we are a child of God. We belong to the Lord by the way in which we dress. Amen, right there. Amen. Boy, you can tell it's spring. The trees are budding and the people are shedding. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't have to start meddling, preacher. Honey, I got news for you. And Joseph was known by his devotion. He was known by his dress. But third of all, he was known by his dreams. The Bible said that Joseph dreamed a dream. And he said, let me tell you about my dream. He said, I saw these stars. He said, I rose up above them. And his brothers envied him. They said, wait a minute. You'll never rule over us. But friend, Joseph had a dream. And he had a vision. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. The church of God today, the church of the Lord Jesus today, we need to have a dream. We need to have a vision. We need to look and say, oh, by the help of God and by the grace of God, come this time next year, every pew ought to be full, every chair in this building ought to be packed, and oh, listen, we ought to have a dream that God can do something here at Harmony Baptist Church. Amen. Oh, and Joseph had a dream. I like one time Brother Curtis Hudson said, listen, he said, aim high. He said, listen, Set your dreams high. Shoot at something. He said it don't cost any more to shoot at eagles than it does skunks. So aim high. Amen. And friend, for the child of God, we'll never do any more than what we dream. We'll do less than what we dream. So dream big that God can do it. Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me, and I will show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. And friend, for the church of God today, we ought to say by the help of God, by the grace of God, we're going to see something done for God in this year. And oh, Joseph dreamed. But second of all, the Lord was with him when he was sold by his brethren. Oh, the Bible says here, his brothers envied him, and they took him, and the Bible says, and sold him into slavery. And they took an animal and split the throat and caught the blood and dipped it in his coat and brought it back to Daddy and said, Daddy, a wild animal killed Joseph. Joseph is dead. Friend, the Bible says that the Lord was with him when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. The Bible says he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Oh, the Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And friend, let me tell you something. He was betrayed by his own brothers. How could a brother betray his own brother and sell him into slavery? But that's what happened with Joseph. He was sold by his brothers. But I want to tell you something. Every time you read about betrayal in the Bible, God took the betrayal and turned it into a blessing. When God took the betrayal of Jesus, when Judas sold him out, and Judas had the silver, oh, God took that curse and the betrayal and turned it into a blessing. And by that, we are saved. God took that betrayal and blessed it. Oh, remember this, when folk come up against you, and when folk plot against you, Remember one thing, that God is still in control. And as Joseph said, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it for good. And friend, you've got to come down and say, Romans 8:28, still in the book, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that call according to his purpose. And friend, everything from the day you get saved to the day you die is working to good for the glory of God. Amen. So just remember that next time you walk in and they say, we don't need your services any longer, and they hand you a pink slip. Just remember that when it looks like people betray you, turn their back on you, put the knife in there, turn it and twist it a little bit. When things don't work out, remember, God's in control. Amen. You find Joseph, the Lord was with him. He was with him when he was sold by his brethren. He was with him as a shepherd lad. Number three. He was with him when he was seduced by Potiphar's wife. Go in the Bible here in chapter number 39. You'll find that Joseph was given a job. Look in verse number 2. The Bible says he was given a job in Potiphar's house. And there in Potiphar's house, he elevated him and put him in a position of leadership of his house. You see, the Egyptians recognized that God blessed this man. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. When you go back to work tomorrow morning, the folk around you ought to know that you've been with God and the things you do, that God's going to bless you. Amen. Amen. And friend, as Joseph was in the Potiphar's house, watch it. The Bible says day after day, he would go and he would do his chores. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife began to look at him. And she said, oh, he's a fine-looking fella. Boy, he's a strapping-looking man. Boy, he's awful handsome. Brother Frank, I know! And he said, he's awful handsome. And Potiphar's wife looked over one day and she said, Joseph, come over here just a second. Could you help me just a little bit? He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. No, I can't do this thing. She said, Joseph! You're a nice-looking young man. Come over here. I want to whisper something in your ear. And Joseph said, no, I'll not do this thing in the sight of God. In the sight, how can I sin against my master? How can I sin against God Almighty? And friend, let me tell you something. When you get out yonder, and when nobody else is looking, and when your parents aren't around, and when nobody else is around, remember this, that God still sees you. Joseph said, I can't do that. Watch it. And the Bible said that she tried to seduce him. Look in chapter 39, verse 9. Look there for a second. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And friend, remember this. Remember that when you are tempted, when you are tested, when you are often tempted to sin, remember that God has provided a means of escape. Romans, 1 Corinthians says, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You might have to do like old Joseph. He ran. The Bible said she reached and grabbed his coat and he ran and left his coat behind him. Friend, let me tell you something. Your testimony takes a lifetime to get. It can take 30 seconds to lose. Amen. Your reputation takes a lifetime to master, but it can be lost in one moment. No, because of Christ would suffer. But now notice something else. Let me quickly give you. The Lord was with him when he stood before his brethren. Notice the Bible says, as you read on in the Genesis, we don't have time this morning, there's a famine that came in the land of Canaan. In the land of plenty, in the land of bread, of milk and honey, there was a famine that came. Joseph, his brothers were up in Canaan. And Jacob said, fellas, we got to do something. We're run out of corn. And they say, we hear that there's corn down in Egypt.
He said, I want you to load the wagons. I want you to go down there with every bit of money we've got. And he said, I want you to bring some corn back. We need corn. He said, I want to tell you something. I want you to go, every one of you to go, except Benjamin. He said, he's the youngest. I've already lost one son. I'm not about to lose another. And so Benjamin stayed at home. And the brothers came down to Egypt. And when they got down to Egypt, Joseph met them. And oh, the Bible said that when he met them, he looked at them. He knew who they were. And he looked at them and he said, you're spies. You've come down here to spy out the land. They said, no, governor, we're not spies. He said, who are you? They said, we're just a band of brothers. He said, how many of you is it? They said, well, there's 10 of us. He said, we got an old daddy. He's living, he's feeble, but he's old and he's crippled. And they said, Joseph said, you bring everybody with you? They said, no. We've got one brother who is not. And we got one brother who's back yonder with daddy. And Joseph, the Bible said, he had to hide his face for the tears. And he looked at him and he said, I don't believe you. I believe you're spies. They said, no, sir. We've come to buy corn. We've got money. He walked over to the Egyptians. He said, I want you to fill their bags with corn. He said, then I want you to take the money and I want you to stick it back in their bag. And they got ready to leave. He said, I still believe you're spies. And he said, I tell you what, you're going to have to leave one of your brothers here. You leave Simeon here and you go back home. He said, but I believe you're spies. They said, no, sir, we're not. And so they went back home. They got down the journey. They opened the sacks and they said, oh, what's happened there? Oh, the money's still in the bag. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. That's the grace of God. Not only does God give you eternal life and everlasting life, but he gives you a little grace along the journey. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I mean, he didn't just give you country-style steak. He gave you mashed potatoes and gravy. Amen. He didn't just give you peanut butter. He gave you peanut butter and jelly. Amen. Friend, that's the grace of God. Not only does he supply our needs, but he goes beyond that and gives us a bountiful plenty. Amen. Amen. They got back home and they said to Jacob, Jacob, Daddy, we had to leave Simeon down there in Egypt. The governor's holding him. And when we come back, he'll let us go if we bring you with him. He said, we're not going. But that went on for a little while and the food ran out and the corn ran out. And all of a sudden he looked at me and said, you've got to go back. And they said, Daddy, if we go back, we've got to take Benjamin with us. He said, Benjamin not going. They said, we can't get no corn unless Benjamin goes. He said, take him. But you make sure you bring him back. And they took Benjamin back down to Egypt. And they got there. And they met Joseph again. And friend, listen, you know the story. And the Bible says that as he met them, that Joseph was moved. And Joseph, my friend, he saw Benjamin, his younger brother. And the Bible said he loved him. Oh, and he revealed himself to him and said, listen, I am he that you sold down into slavery. And he said, go back home and get your daddy. And friend, old Jacob come back and he lived with him 17 years. Oh, and the Lord was with Joseph even when his brothers stood before him. Then last of all, I want to show you something. We're going to be done. Look in Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 26. I've used this in many a funerals. But Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph when he sealed him in a coffin. Look in chapter 50 and verse number 26. The Bible said this. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Now, friend, those old Egyptians, they're pretty good at embalming somebody. They were good at that. But the Lord was with Joseph even when they sealed him in a coffin. Look at that word there in chapter 50, verse 26. That word coffin, you find, is a word that is used in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 2. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9. And the Bible said this, but Jedidiah, The priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of and set it beside the altar on the right side. There cometh unto the house of the Lord, and the priest that keep the door shall put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. What's that word? The word coffin. In Genesis chapter number 50, verse 26, it means a chest. Not just any old chest, but it means a hope chest. How many of you ladies in here? My wife has a hope chest. My daddy found one of those cedar chests before we got married. And he gave it to us, and we gave it to her. And before we got married, she used to put things in there that she'd get to use after the wedding. Now it sits out in our shed. It's got Jonathan's baby blanket in it. It's got baby booties. It's got some precious things in there. But they're tucked away in that hope chest. How many of you ladies ever had a hope chest? Anybody else had one? Oh. What do you put in a hope chest? You put something precious. And something of significance. And something of meaning. Because one day, when you get married, you take those things out of the hope chest. And you share them with your husband. The Bible says that in chapter 50, verse 26, they embalmed Joseph and they put him in a coffin, a hope chest. In Egypt. Friend, that word hope chest is a word coffin that we use today. But every time a saint of God dies, every time a child of God goes to be with the Lord, this old corruptible body, this old body of sin, this old body of disease, they take that body and they put it in a coffin. That coffin is a hope chest. And we take that out, we put it in the earth. But one day, thank God, the Lord Jesus is coming. And He's going to give a shout and the voice of the archangel. The trump of God, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And the precious things in the hope chest are going to come out and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He was with Joseph down there when they sealed the coffin. And friend, I don't know about you. I preached a lot of funerals in my day. And some of the saddest funerals I've ever preached are folks that don't know Christ. Some of the saddest funerals I've ever had are when you walk out of that cemetery and you can't give them any hope. But some of the gladdest funerals I've ever preached is when you can walk out there and you can say, we've got a hope that goes beyond the grave. We've got a hope that goes beyond this life. Thank God for the hope that one day He's coming back again, and all that's in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth a resurrection of life. Thank God for that. If you know Christ today, don't fear. The Lord will be with you. All the journey from this earth to glory, every step of the way, the Lord will be with you. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. One day, He will return and take those in the grave. They'll hear His voice and they'll come out victorious. No more diseased body, no more cancer, no more heart attacks, stroke, shortness of breath, crippled bodies, lame feet, no more. For the ills of time will be no more.